right, it's time for All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. My name is Bruce Birch, and I'm your host for the evening. Man, what a day. What an incredible day. I just wanted to, first of all, I wanted to sort of do some housekeeping stuff. You know, if this is the first time that you've ever heard this program, welcome. Glad to have you with us. It is definitely a different program if you haven't heard this program before. I try to bring you perspective on the week's events and some other, you know, just commentary and interviews and you name it. We usually do it here. Never know what's going to happen. That's why we call it All Things Reconsidered. Anyway, my name is Bruce Birch. I'm glad to have you with us. We are streaming worldwide at whiterosesociety.org. You can go to that website and you can find the archives of this program going back to August of last year. You can also come to the Tom Hartman chat room and get involved in what is turning out to be the event of the year in this chat room. Tom Hartman graciously allowed the Young Turks to use his chat room to chat about or to have, you know, to host, I guess, the filibuster for the filibuster. And this program, the Young Turks program, has been on the air broadcasting since Thursday of last week. So, and they are planning to stay going until 4:30 p.m. tomorrow when the cloture vote is supposed to occur in the United States Senate regarding Sammy the Squint Alito. So do drop into the Tom Hartman chat room and support that filibuster. You know, guys, if you are listening to this program and you don't know anything about this, you know, check them out. Of course, after this show, of course. Because they're doing a wonderful thing in trying to raise awareness and trying to get people to call their senators. And there are a few key senators that you can get in touch with, and we will be giving out those numbers as the evening progresses. We'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a number of other things. We're going to have Elena from World Can't Wait. We were originally supposed to have Sansara Taylor, but she had a schedule conflict. So we will have Elena from World Can't Wait with us later on in the program. We're also going to take some telephone calls, and we're going to be talking about a number of the top stories of the week here on All Things Reconsidered. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at All Things Reconsidered, if you'd like to call the program, you can do so by dialing 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. You can also send an email if you are so inclined to do that. You can send an email, and usually if you get me an email, I will read them on the air. If it's something that looks like you want to have it shared publicly, then I can do that. You can send that email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. Now, our website, you know, all these announcements, we try to get all this done at the top of the show to make sure that we get all this out of the way, and I'll be dropping the telephone number as we go through the program. But, again, the website address for this program is allthingsreconsidered.org. I do strongly encourage you to go check out that website. There's archives there. There's just all kinds of neat stuff there. And actually, on the front page, you will see that I have posted for your perusal the particulars on how to listen to, watch, etc., the Young Turks filibuster. But I want you to write this number down. Now, I'm going to give you these numbers. These are three numbers. These are toll-free numbers. So I want you to write these numbers down. If you don't want to write them down, you can go to my website, allthingsreconsidered.org, and right there on the front page in red are numbers that you can call your senators to tell them to filibuster Sammy the Squint. You know, I can't call him Alito. I mean, I have visions of this guy arriving, getting out of this old car, you know, and this old boxy black car, you know, with a Tommy gun under his trench coat, saying, "I'm here to steal democracy." I'm here to impose fascism on you. I'm laughing about it, but the reality is exactly that. That's what Sammy the Squint is here to do. He is intended to seal the deal on the theft of the United States of America by the neocon right. So your actions are needed now more than ever, possibly more than we've ever needed your actions to try to thwart this bold move by the Bush imperialist presidency. Those telephone numbers are, if you're listening and you want to write this down, 888-818-6641. That's 1-888-818-6641. That's one number. Another one is 1-888-355-3588. That's 1-888-355-3588. And the last one, 1-800-426-8073. That's 1-800-426-8073. Those three numbers will get you in touch with the Capitol Hill operator. And hopefully, if you get in touch with them, you're able to go and get through to your senator. Now, if you are, there are a few that we want to lean on pretty heavily. Okay, we want to lean on Bill Nelson, and I believe there's one. I can't think of his name. It's the guy from Arkansas. I'm sure somebody will, but I'll pull up a list here very shortly, and we'll take a look at that. You can go to nocrony.com. You can go to SaveTheCourt.org. You can go to a number of websites that are out there. Just put in Stop Alito into a search engine and watch what happens. We also, Biden, Byrd, any one of those people need to be leaned on over this nomination to the Supreme Court. I mean, and I really can't emphasize this stronger, because the bottom line here is that democracy is at stake. I mean, it can't get any simpler than that. And what I'm going to do here real quick is I'm going to play, as we're going through the program, I'm going to play some clips for you by Sammy the Squint as we go through our program this evening. And I'm also going to be reading some opinions. I'm going to, give you an understanding, if you will, if you haven't gotten it yet. And you're listening to this program, chances are, I mean, I know my listeners, and the most people who listen to this program, you hear that? I think somebody's getting ready to cut my house up with a chainsaw. No, not really. If you're listening to this program, the chances are you're already pretty informed about this whole situation and about what's going on with Sammy. But you may not be. And in that case, what needs to be done is it's my job to inform you as to what kind of guy these people are putting forward. Now, I find it very interesting that Pryor, for instance, I think it was Mark Pryor from Arkansas that I just didn't remember. Has said, well, there is no smoking gun. There's nothing that we can do, because there's nothing really bad about him and blah, blah, blah. And these guys are covering their butts, man. They've been paid off. And they're covering their butts. And the bottom line is that it's up to you and me to create the kind of situations or kind of situation that will end this entire nomination. Now, who will, we can get into the whole thing about who is he going to nominate next. Who cares? This is the one we're dealing with right now. Okay? This is the one that we're dealing with right now. Okay. You can call, if you want to do a call to Mark Pryor, he's a Democrat out of Arkansas, you can call 202-224-2353. That's 202-224-2353. Thank you, Steady, from the chat room. I appreciate that, putting up that number. And thank you, Rama, for relaying my program, man. Fantastic, man. Rama does a great program. He keeps telling me he's going to get a promo to me so I can play that, and I certainly hope he does real soon. But Rama has a show immediately preceding my show called Rama and Grace. It's he and his wife, and they're from Vermont, and they talk funny. No. Okay, no, they don't talk funny. They're from Vermont, And they have a wonderful program, and he talks a lot about politics. They talk about recipes. They talk about whatever, you know, it's another all things kind of thing. So do tune into to Rama's program before mine. You can go to his website. Check that out. RamaBahama.net. Rama, R-A-M-A, Bahama, like the islands, .net, /homebodies. Now, if you'd like to call into this program, which I strongly encourage you to do, you can do so by dialing 1-336-856-2855. That's 1-336-856-2855. My name is Bruce Birch. I am based in Greensboro, North Carolina. If you don't know, if you're trying to figure out why I talk funny, that's why. So there that is. Now, back to Sammy the Squint Alito. Now, what is it about this guy that is such a bad thing? I mean, you know, we've heard all week about some of the things that he's done, some of the things he's said. Well, let's go ahead and run down a list of things. All right, let's just go ahead and run down a quick list of things. Alito's record on civil rights should give pause to any American. In 1985, Alito wrote that he disagreed with Supreme Court decisions on reapportionment that established the crucial one-person, one-vote principle. As a judge, he cast the deciding vote and wrote the opinion in a ruling rejecting claims by an African-American defendant who had been convicted of felony murder by an all-white jury from which black jurors had been impermissibly struck because of their race. Alito's opinion was then reversed by the full Court of Appeals. He has also repeatedly issued dissenting opinions that would have made it far more difficult for victims of discrimination to get to trial and to prove their cases. Very clearly, we have a man who doesn't have a very good positive record on civil rights. Now, during the entire hearing phase, there was a certain thing that was brought out about concerned alumni of Princeton. Now, the concerned alumni of Princeton was a group that was in favor of Princeton remaining all white and all male. And he was a member of this group. Now, he was so proud of this that he was a member of this group that he actually wrote it on a job application for the Reagan administration. But now that he's up for Supreme Court nomination, he's not so sure he wants it on there. He really, you know, he's like, well, I don't know about that group, blah, 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 blah. And he distanced himself from it. Because, number one, he knew that it would be a black mark on his record. You know, and the deal is that these guys, all they need to do is get in. That's all they need to do. You know? So he's going to sit there and he's going to tell people anything that they want to hear to make sure that he gets onto the court. That's what he's going to do. And we know that, and you know that, just as well as I do. The conservative right is famous for doing that. They're famous for telling you whatever you want to hear, addressing whatever issue of the day, hot button issue of the day is, with whatever you want to hear, and then turning around and as they're smiling with you, you know, ushering a knife into your back. Wow, that's pretty deep, huh? Well, let me put one case in point. Anybody ever heard of compassionate conservatism? Well, that was the platform that George Bush ran on in 2000 when he stole the election from Al Gore. Okay? Compassionate conservatism. I suppose that means that we tell you you're sorry while we yank your job out from underneath you and send it to China. Or, I don't know, let's see, CAFTA, I think the last one was CAFTA, Central American Free Trade Agreement. You know, we need to exploit Guatemala now. So we're gonna tell you sorry as we pull your job out from under you. And that's the kind of thing that we're looking at with Alito, okay? Is the mouth is saying one thing while the actions indicate something else. That is the only good thing that I can say about Sammy Alito. That is that he actually has a record to look at. Now, Harriet Myers, that would have been a hell of a thing to deal with because she had no record as a justice. She, you know, I mean, what was her judicial philosophy? One would never know because I don't think she was ever a judge. A mystery wrapped in an enigma. Gosh, that was hard to say. When the New York Times analyzed Judge Alito's record in a November the 5th article, it concluded that he has reliably favored big business litigants, and that he has been deeply skeptical of claims against large corporations. Judge Alito repeatedly tried to make it harder for workers to prove claims of discrimination. After a corporate polluter was fined for having violated the Clean Water Act 150 times, Judge Alito voted to take the fine off the books. And Judge Alito tried unsuccessfully to remove health protections for workers at a coal processing plant. It's no surprise that a corporate lawyer who represents corporations, accused of breaking the law, told the Times, "We're always happy to see Judge Alito on the panel." So we know whose side he is on with the corporate agenda. As a judge on environmental protections, Judge Alito has been hostile to environmental protections. He has tried to weaken the Clean Water Act in multiple opinions, one of which was later effectively repudiated by a 7-2 Supreme Court majority in a different case. Alito's extremely limited view of the role of the federal government and congressional authority under the Commerce Clause threatened the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, and other important environmental protections. Again, on the side of the big corporations. And here's the big doozy on executive power. While he was in the Solicitor General's office, Alito argued that cabinet officials charged with authorizing illegal wiretaps of Americans in this country are entitled to absolute immunity from legal liability, a claim that, again, was rejected by the Supreme Court. As a judge, Alito cast the deciding vote to uphold the FBI's video surveillance of a suspect's hotel room without a warrant, which the dissent criticized as failing to protect against arbitrary intrusions into our privacy. He has also said he subscribes to a theory called the unitary executive that would grant sweeping powers to the president and devastate the system of checks and balances envisioned by our nation's founder. Let's talk about this. This checks and balances envisioned by our nation's founders is not there. Now, we know that. When you have the entire government is run by Republicans, and the only swing vote in the entire government right now is Sandra Day O'Connor. She is the only one, and she's not even really that liberal. She's not that liberal. I mean, the woman is not that liberal. She's a swing vote. She goes both ways with who knows how she's going to vote. But she is the one person who holds the entire check and balance to the United States government right now. With her retiring and Alito getting into office as a Supreme Court justice replacing her, that goes away. I don't know how I can make it any plainer. That goes away. There would cease to be a check and balance of any kind in government. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to humbly submit to you that what we are seeing is a systemic dismantling of the United States democracy, of our experiment. Our 1776 we declared independence, that's 76 to 96 to 2006. Oh, wow, 230 years this year. 230 years of an experiment in democracy which I believe very strongly is about to go down the tubes because of Sammy Alito. It's 20 minutes past the hour, and what I'd like to do is go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be back. And you're listening to All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. You can call me on this program by dialing 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. You can also send me an email if you want to comment on anything that you're hearing on this program by sending me an email at allthings, that's A-L-L things, all things, at allthingsreconsidered.org. And we're going to take a very quick break, and and we'll be right back. The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. Head on radio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Bush has been trumpeting the success of the nation's economy lately, and I'm sure he'll do it again during his State of the Union speech Tuesday night. For Bush's friends, the economy is, in fact, doing quite well. Oil company profits are way up, and the top 1% of this country is making out like bandits. But for most Americans, the economy is actually not doing well at all. Hourly wages fell 0.5% last year, when adjusted for inflation, and that's part of a bad trend. Real hourly earnings have fallen 18 of the last 20 months, according to the Economic Policy Institute. On top of that, working people are forced to pay more and more for healthcare costs as employers keep cutting back. So at the end of the day, most Americans have less money in their pockets. You wouldn't know that by listening to Bush's speeches, where he talks in terms of gross domestic product, but that's a gross figure. It doesn't tell you how people are living day to day or what cruel choices millions are forced to make, having to choose between keeping the house colder during the winter or having less money for food or clothes for their kids, having to choose between paying for health insurance or taking the chance that they or their kids won't get sick. This is the coercion of the cold marketplace, not the magic of the invisible hand. But Bush doesn't get it because his buddies, they're all doing fine. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
You listen to Bruce Birch, and I'm back with you for All Things Reconsidered, man. Fantastic music there. That's Sniff and the Tears. That's Driver's Seat, for those of you who are familiar with that one from the 80s there. I'm grateful to be back with you again. My name is Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. If you are unfamiliar with this program, please do visit allthingsreconsidered.org for podcasts, archives, you name it. There's a lot of stuff there. There's a discussion board, a link to the Tom Hartman chat room, which is where we are chatting right now. If you're not there, you need to be, because there's a lot of people in there, and they're talking about the Sammy the Squint Alito hearings. It sounds like we got a call coming in. We're going to go ahead and take this, and let's see here. Hey, you're on the air with Bruce Birch, All Things Reconsidered. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Nick in Michigan.
Hey, Nick. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Loving the show. Just discovered it, actually.
All right. I've
been on the chat room. I'm yelling at the radio.
Okay, great, man. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, of course, the Sam Alito thing. And I understand that one of our senators, Senator Levin's still on the fence, so I'm going to try to give him a call tomorrow morning and let him know how I feel about the situation.
Well, I would say even call him tonight. So that's Carl Levin. Now, is Carl Levin on the Judiciary Committee or not?
I believe he is.
Okay. I'll go ahead and see. I'll see if I can't pull it up and get a...
I think he is, because if I remember correctly. But either way, I want to give a call because I think, you know, the Democrats need to fight. They need to, you know, finally just filibuster, you know, take a risk. That's what everyone's been talking about. What the young Turks have been talking about too is, you know, if not now, when are you going to finally just take a risk and stand up for what you believe in?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I'm one of those people that really believe strongly that right now we may be witnessing the end of democracy as we know it, because once this gentleman, if he gets confirmed, then basically what's going to happen is we will have a supermajority on the Supreme Court that will pretty much rule in favor of whatever the president wants them to rule in favor for. You know, I mean, it won't matter what it is.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling everybody myself. You know, I know people are concerned about reproductive rights, but it's even worse than that. We're looking at, you know, him, you know, turning the president into a king.
The unitary executive.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, could they come up with a less, you know, more nefarious sounding title, like Mini Me, maybe? I don't know. Yeah. Well, Nick, I'm really glad that you called in tonight. Let me ask you a question. What are you planning to do? Anything for the State of the Union address on Tuesday night?
Well, unfortunately, I can't. I have an obligation with my job.
Oh, okay.
Which I just cannot get out of, and it's something really important, so I can't do that. But otherwise, I'd be there. But I understand there might be something going on in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Need to check into that and just let people know to, you know, do something.
Sure. Well, and the reason why I'm asking is just because I think that, I mean, we, you know, now is the time if we're going to get out. If we, you know, if any of us have any chance of saving, you know, this form of government, now's the time to get out and get in the streets as much as possible.
Absolutely. I will be doing that this year. I will be doing that. I just can't do it at the State of the Union, but I have been blogging about it.
Okay.
How I feel about what's going on and letting everybody I know.
Sure. Now, do you have a blog that's up on the web now?
Actually, I think it's on, you've linked it to yours, and I've linked you to mine.
Okay.
The Skunk and Tiger.
Skunk and Tiger, right on. Yeah, I think that's right on our site there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So if you want to visit Nick's blog, please visit our website. Go to the links page, and I believe it's under blog sites. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, fantastic.
Under blogger. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Listen, now, okay. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share with us before we sign off?
Just keep up the fight. Just keep it going.
Right on, man.
And really appreciate your program. I'm so glad I discovered it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening. We're always grateful to have new listeners on board and participating and exercising their God-given right or whatever given right.
Absolutely. While we still have them, right?
Exactly. While we, it's one of those things. It's like your perspective. If you don't use it, you will lose it.
Right.
So, all right. Well, listen. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Nick from Michigan just called in. Thanks for calling in, Nick. That's that's a first time caller to the program. Again, we were talking about Alito. I don't know how much I can express, you know, how heavily I can put emphasis on the fact that if this guy gets in. You know, I was in the chat room, okay? You know, in the Tom Hartman chat room. If you're not there, go check it out. I was in there about, that's at tomhartman.com, by the way. T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's, .com. Click on live chat, and that'll get you right in there. But I was in the chat room the other day, and I was talking with my friend, Lottie, who's also, a moderator in that chat room. And we were talking about, this is probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we were talking about Alito. And we were talking about how amazing it is that, you know, I lost my train of thought completely. Train wreck of thought. Had a call coming in and there's somebody waiting on the line right now. But what we're talking about is just how badly it's going to turn out when the government, you know, with this guy in power, because, you know, everything that the president says now, you know, I mean, it's just like he's been waiting to put somebody like this in power. All right, let's go ahead and take this phone call. Hey, you're on the air with Bruce Birch on All Things Reconsidered. Who am I speaking with?
Bruce, it's John. How are you?
John, how are you?
I figured I'd ring in considering the fact that when we were on the air last night, when we did our show, you know, a couple days ago, you weren't so sure that the push was going to be this strong, and I'm glad that you're having to minorly eat your words.
You know, I love it too, don't you? John, you're absolutely right. Now, what John is referring to is that this is John Fox from Sydney, Australia. Can you see the Harbour Bridge?
Yes, I can. It's actually a really nice sunny day here today. It's not even too hot.
John is my co-host with a show that we do together called Fourth Estate Radio. And John is he's basically saying, okay, yesterday we did a show, and in the show I was being the cynic, and I was basically saying that I didn't think that it would work to try to push for a filibuster. And now I'm saying that we have to. And John, you're absolutely right. And you know what?
I think it was because more than just that, it was the push for a filibuster. This particular moment with Alito, and just like the call that you had before, you know, this is more than just about individual issues of, you know, women's rights and, you know, any of these things. This is all about whether or not we end up with King George.
King George.
I mean, that really is. And when you have an untreated coke fiend with the football and a real father complex, you know, it's adding up to be a bad thing. And I think the public's catching on. And I think what the Turks have pulled off this weekend has been something, I think it was needed. I think it was a great idea because, obviously the media wasn't hammering it right. You know, I heard that Obama did this, you know, I'm gonna vote for it and then vote against it thing, and they grabbed onto that as a soundbite. And unfortunately, there's no one out there giving the spined side of the Democrats as opposed to the spineless side of the Democrats.
I know it. John, you've been following this somewhat. Who are the swing people that we need to be contacting?
Well, you know, there are always those people that I can never trust, like Joe Biden. You know, he's great at talking a great game, but when the vote comes, you know, having, as I've said before, he has the immediately or instantly liquefying spine. He's one of my major concerns. I'm trying to think of who else is on the list. You know, again, Obama, you know, a guy that had everyone held such great expectations for, but he's, I wouldn't say been a real stand firm Democrat so far since he's been in. As far as any of the other swing ones, I really can't pull them off the top of my head. I mean, I'm thankful that I have Boxer representing me, and I just kind of know that pretty much on anything, whatever is the right thing to do, she's going to back. So,
right,
lucky in that instance.
I know that Ben, I've been hearing a lot of noise around Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Does that ring a bell?
I've been hearing a lot about that, and I wonder if we'll actually see maybe a Republican or two cross lines if the thing continues to create steam, because, you know, there are those real Republicans, not these neoconservative ones there, that are just have got to be in just shock horror and are still too scared to do anything. So, you know, I mean, I think all we can do is continue to make the full court press up until the end, do or die. Otherwise, you know, it'll be letting this guy, you know, a rubber stamp on the Supreme Court get through without contest, and that's too frightening a thought to even contemplate, really.
It really is, because, you know, what we're seeing with what's on the Supreme Court presently is, you know, they've moved away from literally interpreting, you know, the Constitution, and more toward, I mean, you know, they say that they're you know, they say that they're against judicial activism, which means that any kind of liberal interpretation of the Supreme Court, of course, is what they call judicial activism. Now, judicial activism, you know, now they don't want to talk about legislative activism like they did with, what's her name, down there in Florida, Terry Schiavo, right?
And you just look at the way this administration appoints people. Now, they're appointing people that aren't, you know, the person to be the best possible person in the country to fill the highest position in the land in their field. They put someone in that will read things the way that they want them to. And I have to say that, you know, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Bill Clinton, but I definitely don't remember him making appointments, especially things like judicial appointments, in this way, you know. And just it's the shoving it down the throats of people that, you know, we will tell you what you will have kind of a vibe, and we will tell you what kind of democracy you will have. And I just think that it is, we are at a threshold without a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, if we don't grab control of the reins now, or at least start smacking the people with the reins in their hands really, really, really hard over and over and over every time they do something stupid or evil, we only have ourselves to blame. But I'll tell you, over the last, I don't know, I actually think that the catalyst started with Gore speech on top of, you know, the Alito hearing starting, and, you know, it's not just all about Alito, but right now the focal point needs to be Alito.
Right. Well, he's the
well, you know, we got all the other games going on, like, you know, rattling sabers with the Iranians and whatnot, all at the same time.
Sure.
It's really, really hard for the average person or, you know, even a concerned citizen to keep the whole damn thing straight.
Well, and I think, you know, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I think what we're having to do is we're having to deal with the most clear and present danger that's right in front of us, and that is Alito. Right this second. We have all next week to deal with the Iranians, you know, or whoever else, you know, or to deal with our country invading Iran, which looks like may happen. But Alito, you know, again, he is the sort of the linchpin for a 30-year domination of conservative thought on the Supreme Court. That's scary.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I think, you know, kind of going back to you know, what the Turks have been doing, I think that's one of the things that was brilliant with Malloy just coming on and reading 1984. Because, you know, even though he didn't get through it, the whole beginning of that book sets the mood and the place of where we could end up if this guy gets in.
It's damn scary. John,
at the whole opening of the book just opens, just paints a picture of a place that we're not really very, very far from right now. It's only because of cosmetics and appearances and shiny TV sets that we think otherwise.
You know, and time will tell with that. I mean, I think that what'll happen. I mean, you know, I really would like to see this happen. I would, you know, and you know, you called me right, man. You know, I last, you know. Actually, when we went to record our show, I don't want to give away too much of that, how we do it, but the momentum for the filibuster had just begun, and we really didn't know what was going on. I'll tell you, the energy that I've seen in the Tom Hartman chat room over the last couple days for this effort has been inspiring. It has been amazing. You know, John, you and I are in that chat room normally on the weekends. How many people do we usually have in there? Maybe on a good.
It never looks anything like this.
I mean, not even during Tom's show. So.
Well, I mean, it's just been such rapid fire, you know. And I think just kind of like part of what created that was the ad hoc insanity of how it kind of came together. I guess, you know, they decided to do it and they, you know, whacked it up on their stream. And then, you know, Bob Kincaid rocks up and starts restreaming it. And then other people start restreaming it. And it's all this kind of like, you know, and they're going and grabbing talent from everywhere and just making it happen.
Right.
So I think because it was just kind of happening at the moment, people were really drawn in because, you know, you had to come to the chat to maybe get a link to get on the stream.
Right.
Because, you know, of all the restreams and whatnot. So, you know, and it has been a really great thing. You hear, and you know, people are typing in, you know, I just took 15 minutes and, you know, emailed off to, you know, bang, 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 and you know, they're making networking connections on how to, I think, making phone calls to representatives in Florida and whatnot. I've been seeing all kinds of little plans in the works. Which, you know, I think the networking alone that can come out of this could
yeah,
Obama,
yeah.
Obama, bin Biden in the chat.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Obama, bin Biden. oh, man.
I should clear this line for another caller, but I just wanted to tell you that, it's, you know, there's no shame in being possibly wrong on this one, man, because, you know, the Democrats have disappointed before.
Oh, my gosh.
There was an energy that I felt from this thing from its outset, and it had something to do with Kennedy being involved.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other two, you know, just before you get off the line, though, I think that, you know, we have watched, John, you and I have watched, and I'm sure that a lot of the other talk show hosts, including the Young Turks, have watched those guys in Washington really disappoint us a number of times. And it's hard to, again, you know, I mean, on Thursday, you know, it looked all but lost. Well, today I am happy to say that that's not the case. And again, like I said
on our show last night, I still think that a whole bunch of that whole business that you were hearing that the Democrats weren't going to bother filibustering was nothing but right-wing talking point spin trying to plant the idea.
Exactly.
Hoping that they wouldn't try and get a backbone together.
Exactly. Even though all the
progressive shows, everybody together kept hammering, going, no, you're lying. No, you're lying. And gave it a chance to actually have it come out from the Democrats as opposed to coming from Fox News.
Right.
So I think that we saw a clear evidence that you can derail the talking point machine.
Well, we've had to.
If you go with a concentrated effort like has been done here.
John, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
No worries, man. Great show tonight, and I'll be listening and chatting with you.
All right, and stay tuned. We're going to have Elena. Now, last night we had Samsara Taylor on. Tonight we're going to have Elena from World Can't Wait later on this evening. So do stay.
Hey, I'll be listening.
Stay tuned for that. Thanks for calling in, and have a great evening, John.
Hi, Bruce.
Okay, good night. And that was my friend John Fox from Down Under. John is from Sydney, Australia. Now, he's an expat. That's why he didn't talk exactly like they do. But John and I host a show called Fourth Estate Radio. If you are unaware of that show, you can go to Fourth Estate Radio. And either way, spelling it out, 4-T-H or F-O-U-R-T-H, will get you there. FourthEstateRadio.com. And we were just talking about Sammy Alito. One more time, Sammy Alito. You know? What a guy. He really does represent some of the worst that the reactionary right has to offer. I'm going to take a very quick break, and we'll be back with you momentarily. You're listening to Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. You can visit us online at allthingsreconsidered.org. If you'd like to call into the show, you can do that by dialing 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. You can also send me an email at allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That was .org, by the way.
We lost our billions, and we were middle class.
There.
We were both working, and we could barely pay our bills. The children had to go to public schools. Oh. We had something called an HMO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It seems so real. We couldn't even afford my Botox.
Oh, sweetheart, go back to sleep. I'll write another campaign check tomorrow.
President George W. Bush, keeping alive the American dream for some of us.
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What? But don't worry, we're going to sell you credit life insurance. You don't really need it, but we sell it at 5 times the cost.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign. Or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
There was, we had a president, okay? We had a president who led this country out of the Great Depression and through a world war. And that president said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. That is a very diametrically opposed concept to what we have in place today, which is different levels of fear. We have the yellow fear, the orange fear, and then the red fear. The red fear. I guess the red fear is like when all hell is breaking, it's like bend over and kiss your ass goodbye kind of fear, right? Join me, Bruce Burch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday night at 10 p.m. at allthingsreconsidered.org.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush will give his State of the Union address, but we can say right now that the Union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is out to remake the world. An Orwellian police state, endless war, religious tyranny, no dissent, no free thought, a ruined planet. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. On Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will mount protests all across the country. We will demand that Bush step down. Then, on Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., and we will bring our demand right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush must step down. Find us today, worldcantwait.org, 866-973-4463.
Right, you're back with Bruce Burch on All Things Reconsidered, man. Fantastic. That's a really cool group too, by the way. I just want to let you know that the World Can't Wait is a fantastic group. In case you're not involved in a local World Can't Wait group, I do strongly encourage you to check them out. Go out and check them out. You know, anything in my mind, anything that's going to marginalize the power of the Bush regime at this point cannot be a bad thing. We got a call coming in. Let's check out and see who this is on the line. And you're on with Bruce Burch, All Things Reconsidered. Who am I speaking with?
This is Steady.
Hey, Steady. Let me bring this volume up a bit.
This is Steady.
All right, man. How you doing?
Good, good, good. How are things going there? I turned the radio down. I think that's important.
That is important.
Okay. I say radio. I'm still using the computer. I mean, we're all using the computer, but I still say radio.
Let's call it radio. That's cool.
There's still records.
Yeah. So hey, man, but it's been a long time. Now, Steady, before you get going, let me just say Steady is a caller that has been on our show a number of times and was actually one of the people that really pushed me hard to get this thing going over 27 shows ago. Do you remember that?
I do. I was excited, and that was when Mike Shiley came out with his movie Inside a Rock, and I learned about that from Tom Hartman's chat room there. I'm in contact with him now. He's come out with another movie about Katrina, and he covered the tsunami as well, which I didn't know when we covered Inside a Rock. The guy's all over the place.
Oh, he really is.
He's really a hero. And we just heard Bob Woodruff got him and his photographer were leading in the front of a Bradley fighting vehicle, which Mike Shiley actually went on patrol the Syrian border with some of the airborne people out there. And he was seriously injured. Head injuries. He's okay, critically injured, and he's in the hospital, but he's alive.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the last headline that I saw about that, they had airlifted him out of Iraq, I think, to Germany.
Yeah, I was kind of edging today. I was watching golf, and Tiger Woods won out here in Torrey Pines in San Diego. The weather was beautiful. So you guys maybe got a little bit of Southern California sunshine if you're watching a little golf today.
I've never taken you for a golf fan, Steady.
I'm a hacker. I'm an 18, but I have holed out from 170 yards. So that was a shot of my life.
I hear you. Okay. Well, so what's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, we had a couple rabbit holes that we were chasing back in September.
We sure did.
When I came back from San Antonio. One of them was how far did they go, and you know what was on the walls when we were steering your media light down the rabbit holes there. I just got off the phone when you started the phone. I just called the Home Depot because I was on Thursday, and we had talked about the price of just basic 12-3 copper.
Sure.
Now on Thursday they didn't have any 12-3 because it's all gone, and they still don't have any tonight. But the price right now, well, let me say it for people who didn't have it, didn't hear that. The price was about $48 for 12-3 copper in September of 05. It had shot up to like 63 12 months prior to that. But right now, I just called Home Depot. It's $81 and they don't have any. You know, it's just the guys who are building right now, you've got like 6,000 homes in our county, in this basin here that are being built. And these guys who built, you know, bid these jobs, they're getting killed with this inflation and the copper.
Sure.
I can trace it in steel and everything else. But I just now got an update. And those who've been following the price of that, we use that as a marker. You know, that's to someone who's been, that's just incredible. It's tripled.
My goodness.
It's those type of increases in cost of building things. I mean, now you're going to go back and try to rebuild all these homes.
And this has been
that
since.
That price is consistent across the country.
And this has been
it's
since
going to
Katrina.
Cost them three times as much to rebuild those homes now. You know, and every day you wait, it gets more and more. And the worst case scenario that I is actually unfolding. We got it. But if we can defeat Alito on this thing, we can turn the tide. But this is a critical point. That's the thing right now.
Uh-huh.
That's the big deal. But the economics, let's talk, okay, we'll go on one more. This is also in the metals. The gold price was about, I think it was $450. I did a little care. It's like $560 right now. Then it's gone up $3 in China tonight. I'm just watching that because we're doing the interview. But those type of increases in everyday, you know, things, we haven't seen it in milk yet, but the price of gas is going back up. The money is just zipping around the world. We've seen 500 points drop and rise in the Nikkeis. I mean, just those type of moves. That is the electronic age of shuffling money around the world at light speed. And, you know, while people in South America and Africa and all these nations, every little bit of extra money that's around the country is being siphoned out of the country in debt service. So you got a two-tier financial system, and it's almost impossible to break out of it. Now, we can change this starting here, but if we get this illegal guy in there, you know, all this stuff is dynamic and it's related. One thing leads to another. We got Bernanke coming in and Greenspan going out. They're going to run these printing presses and money. They told us back in November that they were going to publish the M3 figures, which is the number or the measure of currency in circulation. Now, why would they say they're not going to print it? They're not going to publish those numbers because they're going to run the printing presses like crazy to relieve some of those pressures.
Sure.
But it'll only work for a little while. Interest rates will come down. This is just a projection now.
Right.
I'm no expert.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that stuff goes out, again, what I said about Washington saying a wagon load of cash will barely buy a wagon load of provisions is coming. You're going to – Ben Bernanke is known as Mr. Helicopter Money or Helicopter Ben because that's how he fixes things. That's his policy. Just inflate.
Really?
Yes, helicopter money.
Wow.
So Greenspan bubbles is now going to be, the Greenspan bubbles are going to be blown by the winds of helicopter money. We're going to see what happens. that's just a rookie guy here. I'm on the side of that stuff, but I've been right on with some of the most of this stuff over the last 5 years.
Well, I know that every time that you and I have had a conversation regarding economics, that you know we have found that you know your analysis is pretty much on the money. I mean, we find out weeks later that what we've been talking about has come to pass.
Yeah, you know, I'm going with Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl if anyone wants to parlay.
Okay, now we can't. Now, in North Carolina, Steady, gambling is not legal. No, only on the Indian reservation or the Native American reservation down there. But, well, man, Steady, thanks for we're right at the top of the hour, my friend, and I've got an interview I got to do here real quick. But you are very welcome to call in later on in the show.
Rightio.
And
thanks for the Young Turks for all the people hanging out, and Tom Harden for making that available.
Absolutely.
Let's bust this Alito guy.
Let's bust this Alito guy, and hopefully we'll have some news later on in a few weeks, eh?
Well,
we'll,
sure,
we'll,
yeah.
We'll talk about
Absolutely.
That later.
Absolutely. Things are heating up, really.
That's right. All right, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, love you. Gotta go.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. And that was my friend Steady from Ojai, California. Now, Steady was one of those guys that really pushed hard to see this show get started. And if you go back in the archives, he was in, I think, maybe he was in several of the first 10 shows talking about a lot of different things, including Katrina and, you know, just economic-related stuff. The Iraq War, just, you know, and he is a great friend of the program. So Steady, thank you so much for calling in and for surfacing again. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have Elena from World Can't Wait. And, so stick around for a minute or two, and we'll hear from her and see what they have to give us to talk about for, the State of the Union Address.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night at headonradio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Hear, hear for John Kerry, finally a Democrat willing to take a principled, courageous stand against Samuel Alito and to do what needs to be done, and that's to filibuster. Sean Hannity of Fox may sneer. David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times may mock Kerry for hobnobbing in Davos instead of attending the early parts of the Senate debate. But millions of progressives, me included, are cheering Kerry on, and Ted Kennedy too, for that matter, who's also supporting the filibuster. In announcing his decision, Kerry was blunt about Alito. He'll take America backwards, Kerry said, adding, he's consistently made it harder for the most disadvantaged Americans to have their day in court. He routinely defers to excessive government power, regardless of how extreme or egregious the government's actions are. And to this date, Kerry said, Alito's only statement on record regarding a woman's right to privacy is, she doesn't have one. Of course, Kerry and Kennedy can't pull off this filibuster by themselves. They need the support of every Democrat who opposes Alito. They need the support of Harry Reid. They need the support of Hillary Clinton. This is put up or shut up time. And progressives will not look favorably upon those who don't have the courage of their convictions. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Burch. You're back with All Things Reconsidered, and that was the Black Eyed Peas, Where Is the Love? If you want to check that out, that's a fantastic. That's off of their album, Elefunk. Do check that out if you are interested in the Black Eyed Peas. It's about 8 minutes after the top of the hour. We're still in Sunday here on the East Coast, and the person we got coming up next that we're going to be talking to is from an organization called World Can't Wait. And you can check that out, worldcantwait.net. Worldcantwait.net. No apostrophe there. And this organization has a program or a movement that they're creating that is all about driving out the Bush regime. And the lady that we have, or the person we have on the line with us, is Elena Parks, and she is going to be talking to us about some of the some of the stuff that's going on with World Can't Wait this week. And some of the stuff, actually, you know, Elena, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really glad to have you on All Things Reconsidered this evening. And first of all, Elena, you are an organizer and you are based out of the national office in New York. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And why don't you tell me a little bit, but just before, you know, we get too far into this, I'd like to know what was it that got you involved in World Can't Wait?
Well, this past summer was when the organization, you know, was first formed. And a grouping of people were outraged by the direction that society was going in under Bush regime got together, and they wrote a call, which you can read online. It was a call to drive out the Bush regime. And that summer that it was written, I was at a Refuse and Resist national conference, and I heard Deborah Sweet, in fact, talk about The World Can't Wait.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, that's a really great idea. And at that point in time, it was just a great idea. And then I saw things start to take off and the call getting out there more broadly in society. And then I went to school and I organized my campus for our launching of The World Can't Wait, which we call the beginning of the end of the Bush regime. And that was November 2nd.
Okay.
And I led a walkout at my college and a protest where around 150 people attended.
Wow.
And then I set my J-term at the national office and decided that I was going to take a semester off and work for the national office.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
So what college was, if you don't mind sharing?
Mount Holyoke.
Okay. Very cool. I know that there was a very, I remember hearing about that there was a very strong presence of World Can't Wait there. And you organized that. So you're the person.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you on All Things Reconsidered. Now tell me something about, a little bit more about some of the philosophical stuff behind World Can't Wait, if you can. You know, one of the questions that I've gotten a lot is, okay, so we drive out the Bush regime, what do we replace it with? Have you heard this question at all?
Yes, I've heard that question many times, and I think there's a few ways to answer it.
Okay.
I think the best way to think of it is actually in terms of this analogy that I heard the other day, which is thinking of it as a tsunami. And if there was a tsunami coming into this village, and there were all these scientists that had these conflicting theories on how the tsunami was going to be solved, you know, how it would be fixed, what's the best way of preventing them. But this tsunami was hitting us right now, you know, would it make sense to actually just be wrangling out the ideas of these different theories, or would it make sense to get people to the highest ground possible? And I think the answer is it would be more important and more crucial to the survival of the village to get people to the highest ground possible. And what World Can't Wait is doing is providing a vehicle to get people on the highest ground possible. You know, we're not dealing in rational times with rational people. We're actually dealing with people who have a severely fascist agenda. And if we don't stop and we don't act the concrete plans that are demanding that Bush step down, we're going to fail, and this village is going to be wiped out. So that's kind of how I like to answer that.
Well, as we are speaking, Elena, there is a filibuster for a filibuster. I don't know if you are you're aware of this, but the Young Turks, which is a progressive talk show based out in Los Angeles, is they've been on the air since Thursday, and what they're doing is they are trying to rally support behind getting the senators to filibuster Sammy Alito. Okay? I know that World Can't Wait itself is sort of like addressing more of the root cause of all the stuff that's going on, you know, as far as Bush, right? But has there been anything that's come out of World Can't Wait regarding the whole Alito nomination?
Yes.
There has been, okay.
Alito is a theocrat. Alito is a Christian fascist who wants to remake the Supreme Court, who, if you look at his record, he is more than happy to overturn Roe v. Wade and, you know, let women die. He also, you know, would be more than happy to give total executive power to the president. You know, generally he's a pretty dangerous man to have in the Supreme Court. And World Can't Wait has led several actions across the country opposing his nomination, including two Bloody Monday events.
Okay. Tell me what the Bloody Monday event was.
Well, across the country, people went out into the streets in their downtowns and they held signs that said, you know, Alito will outlaw abortion and women will die. There was a conference of women who were supporting Alito who were opposed to abortion, and DC volunteers, members of World Can't Wait, stormed that press conference in white gowns with fake blood on them and, you know, chanting, you know, Alito will outlaw abortion and women will die. And they were pushed out at the press conference and they made it into the newspapers. And it was pretty heavy. You know, people went around with red cloth pinned to them as a symbol of what is to come if Alito is confirmed as a Supreme Court justice.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that World Can't Wait has come out and had some action surrounding this because, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, things could get a lot worse very fast with him sitting on the court.
Very rapidly, and as we've seen, you know, there's going to be no savior from the Democratic Party, as it says in our call. You know, there's this absolute, you know, demobilization that the Democrats have caused, and there's some really powerful articles on our website that speak to that, that speak to Alito and what's worse to come, you know, in the next pick that Bush will have, you know, and also the lack of action that's been taken around it, and that now is the time where we have to step it up. We see Alito, we see this NSA spying, you know, we see the destruction of the environment, we see all these things that are laid out in the Your Government's in the Call, illustrated every day. And we're at a really critical juncture in this point of history where we can either not do something and allow things to go in the direction where they're headed to Christian fascism, or we can change that course and, you know, work for a world like world worth living in. So the choice is ours.
Okay, Elena, thank you. You know, thanks for that. But what I know, there are some actions that are coming up this week, as a matter of fact, that have been building for the last few weeks. Tell me about some of the events that are going to be going on around the country surrounding the State of the Union address.
Okay, on January 31st, which is the night of the State of the Union, we're going to bring the noise and drown out the lies at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In large cities and town squares across the country, we'll rally 1 hour before Bush's address at 9 p.m. We're going to bring the noise with pots and pans and musical instruments and our voices and taxi cab horns blaring and church bells ringing, and we're going to bring, you know, our message that Bush step down and take your program with you.
What, okay, how many people, or how many, do you have any examples of some of the events that are going to, I mean, have you guys been hearing
from? Sure. There's 64 events across the country.
Okay.
I believe at this point. And there's going to be, I'm trying to think of a good example for you. There's going to be rallies in cities like Chicago and New York and LA and San Francisco, these big places where there's usually things going on, but then there's going to be things happening in Westerly, Rhode Island and, Gainesville, Florida and Honolulu, Hawaii. So things are really happening all over the country.
That's fantastic.
In D.C., there's going to be speakers such as Cindy Sheehan and Anne Wright addressing the crowd.
Cool.
So that will be really exciting.
I do know that
a lot of it is, you know, just music and everything from tap dancing to, you know, Irish jig dancing. I don't know. It's gonna be incredible.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the kind of, you know, hoping that the media will have some coverage of some of the events out there, but, you know how the media is.
Yeah, but, you know, we actually have a really strong team of media team that's working really around the clock in getting these events out there in the media, the best we can,
mm-hmm.
And making this demand that Bush step down resound throughout the country so that the next day the news isn't, you know, Bush is glossing over the truth, but these people pouring out into the streets demanding that he go. And then following that up with the next Saturday, February 4th, a demonstration at, you know, the White House where we, you know, brought the noise that Tuesday. And then we're bringing this demand to the White House itself with an 11 a.m. rally at 17th and Constitution and a 2 p.m. march around the White House.
Is that rally going to be, you know, in the Ellipse, or?
It's going to be at 17th and Constitution. I think that's across from the Ellipse. I'm not very good with D.C. geography.
Yeah, it's.
Area,
I think it's pretty close.
But,
that's
you
pretty
can
close.
See a map, I believe, on our website.
Is there? Okay.
Where it's going to be.
Okay, what time does... Okay, that starts at 11 o'clock. Are there going to be...
And then there's a 2 p.m. march around the White House.
2 p.m. march around the White House. How long do you think that... Is that like a couple hours or...
Yeah, I would say a couple hours.
What kind of speakers are you going to have there in D.C.? Do you know?
The speakers in D.C. on February 4th are going to include Kathleen Chalfant, Martin Garbus, Doris Granny D. Haddock, Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights, Boots Riley from the Coup.
All right.
Reverend Al Sharpton, Saul Williams, Anne Wright, and other speakers will be announced soon, pending schedule confirmation.
Fantastic. Well, you guys have really put together some solid events this week, and I know that on November 2nd there was a, you know, that really put World Can't Wait on the map, because I think that. You know, in talking with, for instance, with Sansara Taylor about that event a couple weeks after it happened, you know, the folks at World Can't Wait in the national office really didn't expect it to take off like it did. And, you know, so I think it's fantastic. I think that your message is really resonating with the people out there. I know that there are some that I've had email me. Matter of fact, I'm gonna read you an email if you don't mind.
Sure.
That is by I'm not gonna give you the name, but it's by one of our listeners, and his comment is simply it's a, it, it, he's from I'll tell you this, he's from California. He says simply for clarity and balance, I just want to interject that there is a significant portion of the peace activism community, which is uneasy with World Can't Wait's message and methods. For me, I'm uneasy with the anger that's so present in their message, to the point where I'm not clear that yelling and screaming and being angry is really going to accomplish anything truly peaceful. I'm not alone in thinking this, and I just want to balance things out by making you aware. And what's your reaction to that?
My reaction to that is, this is not the time for reasoned tones. This is not the time for compromise. This is not the time for sitting back, you know, and just watching history go down. This, you know, if ever there was a time to hit the streets, if ever there was a time to really be angry, now's the time. You know, when your government is openly justifying torture, when your government is boiling people to death, I think that's the time to hit the streets. I think it is righteous to be angry, and not just being angry, but actually using your outrage to change the course of history. We're not encouraging that people, you know, are just angry at the direction that society is going in, and angry that their government is, you know, wrapping villages in Iraq in barbed wire. Anger does not do enough. You know, we're calling on people to take independent historical action. And that's the only thing right now that has the potential to really make a radical rupture with the trajectory we're on. And, you know, we are uniting with people from all different angles. I mean, if you read our call, I don't see, you know, if, I mean, your governments in there are true. You know, the call is just speaking the truth. You know, it says there is no escaping it. The whole disastrous course of the Bush regime must be stopped. We must and can aim to create a political situation where Bush regime's program is repudiated, where Bush himself is driven from office, and where the whole direction he has been taking society is reversed. We in our millions must and can take responsibility to change the course of history. And I think that's really true. And I think that there are more and more people coming forward and responding to that, and responding to the fact that we're not compromising and we're not watering down our message. You know, we are actually trying to bring more organizers, more participants into this movement every day. This is a movement that's so different from anything that, you know, really ever existed in, you know, the anti-war movements or anything. We're calling on you to actually really be a part of this movement. You know, to be an active participant. And I don't think that's negative. I think, yeah, it's scary, but, you know, fascism's scary. We've got to go all out if we want to win.
That's right.
But can't wait once to win.
Well, Elena, thank you so much for joining us on All Things Reconsidered. Before we get off the line, though, is there anything else you'd like to share with the folks who are listening about World Can't Wait, or about, you know, how they can get in touch with World Can't Wait and get involved?
Well, I just want to, you know, reiterate, come out on Tuesday night, January 31st, Day of the Union protest. You can visit our website, www.worldcantwait.org. for a location near you, and then get your bus ticket now, your plane ticket, however you can get there. Bring your body to D.C. on February 4th and, you know, join us. You can call us at 866-973-4463 and email us at info@worldcantwait.org.
Fantastic. Elena, if you could just hang on to the line for a moment, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and I want to talk with you while I'm over the break, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang on. I'll be right back with you. This is you've been listening to Bruce Birch, and this is All Things Reconsidered. We are the program of choice for Sunday nights from 10 to 11 usually, but we're doing a three-hour show tonight. A three-hour show. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you here in just one moment. Hey, so thanks so much for calling in and letting me do this. And I really do...
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night at headonradio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no Oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. It's filibuster time, and if Harry Reid can't summon the troops to go to battle against Samuel Alito, he doesn't deserve to be minority leader, as the excellent website BuzzFlash has argued, for the filibuster was designed for occasions just like this. Here we have the majority party trying to railroad through one of the most reactionary judges ever nominated to the Supreme Court, a judge who's been consistently hostile to abortion rights, a judge who advertised that he belonged to a racist and sexist organization in college, a judge who lied to the Senate years ago when he said he'd recuse himself from cases involving his own investments. Most grievous of all, this is a judge who doesn't seem to believe in the powers even of the judiciary or the powers of Congress when they conflict with the powers of the presidency. And today we have a president who is carving out the most gargantuan slices of power all for himself. This is not the time to confirm a justice who will applaud that carving. It's the time for courageous senators to rise to their feet and use the only tool they have, a tool that was tailor-made for one Samuel Alito. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
What is the Fourth Estate? The Fourth Estate used to be...
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. More details just arrived.
And today, what are we force-fed?
Is where the news is.
You know, in the old days, it wasn't about the exclusive. It was about telling the truth. It was about making sure the truth was portrayed in the media, you know, in print and in television and on the radio. And now the news has become a manufactured item. Today news, that today's media is complicit. What we want to do and what we're going to do and what we are doing with the Fourth Estate is to create a place, well, if you will, a safe haven for the truth.
Fourth Estate Radio. It's again time to hold them accountable.
For the latest details, visit fourthestateradio.com.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution.
Alright, welcome back to All Things Reconsidered. You're listening to Bruce Birch, and that was actually David Rovics in a song called After the Revolution, After the Revolution. And that song is actually about what would happen if finally all the guns were laid down, if finally all of the negative stuff, the police, you know, the militarism in our society, if one day we woke up and everything was different. If one day we woke up and everyone was being fed and everyone was housed and all the political prisoners were released, what would it be like? And that was the answer, after the revolution. So go check out David Rovics. Now, David, you know, I just want to, just as an aside, all of his music is available for free download, and he is a great progressive artist. So I would strongly recommend you check him out if you're into progressive music. He is a guy to go check out. Okay. We just had an interview with Elena Parks of World Can't Wait National Office. She's a national organizer, and she actually organized her college, Mount Holyoke College, to do an event on November the 2nd and to do some other things. And she decided that, you know, that it absolutely was time to do something more with her life, I guess. And so she took a semester off from school and is now working in their national office of World Can't Wait. So that was a really interesting interview. If you want to check that out, you can go back to our archives. It'll be posted sometime tonight on White Rose Society and also on our website, allthingsreconsidered.org. Now, I want to, before I go too much farther, I really want to push Ben Birch, because now Ben Birch spells his name the same way I do, but we're no relation that we're aware of. And I always say that I would claim him. He's a good guy, very good guy. He has been working very hard this weekend to ensure a steady stream for the filibuster, for the Young Turks. And after this show, I really do strongly encourage you to go check out that show that they're doing. You can get there off the front page of our website. But tonight we're pushing this whole Alito thing pretty hard. And the reason why we're pushing this whole Alito thing pretty hard is because the future of America hangs in the balance. It was just pointed out to me by a friend of mine who goes by Liberal Me. And actually, I just wanted to also mention that our show is underwritten by Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida. And if you are and thank you very much, Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida, for underwriting this program. If you are interested in, if you have a business and you're interested in underwriting this program, you can just send me an email, allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. But Peter pointed out this this story to me, and that is, this is off of Raw Story, and this is out of today, and this is going to be in the New York Times tomorrow, apparently. 25 years ago, at the very first meeting of the Federalist Society, the networking began between conservative lawyers who have helped steer Judge Alito toward his likely ascent to the Supreme Court, according to a front-page story slated for the Monday's New York Times. Referring to the organization as a kind of shadow conservative bar association, the article reveals the influence Leonard A. Leo, vice president of the society, has had through the process. Excerpts from the article by David Kirkpatrick are a movement that in 1982 sought only a haven from what its members considered the prevailing liberalism of the law schools and the federal courts has become a major force in the law. And with their likely victory in the Alito confirmation process, conservatives hope that they may have at last begun to shift the balance of the Supreme Court in their direction on matters like abortion rights, school prayer, the death penalty, and the limits on federal power. With grants from major conservative donors like the John M. Olin Foundation, the Federalist Society functioned as a kind of shadow conservative bar association, planting chapters in law schools around the country that served as a pipeline to prestigious judicial clerkships. During their narrow and politically costly victory in the 1991 confirmation of Justice Clarence Thomas, the Federalist Society lawyers forged new ties with the increasingly sophisticated network of grassroots conservative Christian groups like Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs and the American Family Association in Tupelo, Mississippi. Many Christian conservative pastors and broadcasters had rallied for decades against Supreme Court decisions that outlawed school prayer and endorsed abortion rights. As long ago as the end of 2004, Leo of the Federalist Society tapped 18 conservative lawyers to research the records of 18 potential Supreme Court picks, including Roberts and Alito, people involved in the effort said. Is that any surprise that that the Federalist Society has guided the path of Alito? I don't think it's any surprise at all. And the reason why I don't think it's any surprise at all is that, you know, that particular society has been the guiding, prevailing legal society. I mean, just as I read to you, the guiding light of the conservative movement for many, 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 many years. Although I certainly hope that that story by itself will light a fire under the ass of the Democratic senators who say there's no smoking gun. I mean, good God, I don't want to like make disparaging remarks about folks who are sight limited, but Ray Charles could see the smoking gun with this guy. Okay, Ray Charles could see the smoking gun with this guy. I mean, it's that obvious. The obvious, what isn't so obvious is why these senators are sitting on the fence and not wanting to come out against him. I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, are they being bought off? Or, you know, is there something that's being held over their heads? I mean, you know, is there some sort of mysterious meeting in the middle of the night some park in Arlington, Virginia, where they're, you know, being handed a packet of photographs or something? I mean, you know, what's going on here, folks? You know, Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Ben Nelson of Nebraska, and then there's that Mark Pryor from Arkansas. I mean, you know, these guys, you know, and we know that Robert Byrd has kind of always been kind of conservative, but some of these others, I mean, you know, Olympia Snow, come on. You know, she's supposed to be pro-choice, and this guy has, you know, I mean, some of the things that I've read about him has been that he, you know, with regard to abortion rights, he actually helped craft a strategy for undermining the laws surrounding abortion rights in this nation. You know, I mean, when they realized that they weren't going to be able to overturn Roe v. Wade right off the bat, What they did instead was they decided that that what they needed to do was to go ahead and try to undermine the existing laws to the point that it would make abortion inaccessible, which is what they've done. And Alito was one of the people that helped to do that. I mean, what more of a freaking smoking gun do you need? You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, wake up. And I know that I'm sounding a little over the top a little bit with this, but the bottom line is, folks, is that, you know, don't listen to what they're saying. I mean, you know, they're trying to get you to see, you know, okay, what's the reward here? And then maybe that's it. Maybe what we need to be looking for instead is we need to be looking for the reward that comes after these people cast their vote for cloture tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. Okay? What's the reward? I wish that there was a way to track bank accounts. I wish there was a way to, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's been high-level meetings and all kinds of political maneuvering and wrangling and all this other good stuff. You know, but the bottom line is that we've got to rally around and we've got to kick out this guy. And you know what? Yes, we might get another nominee that's just as dangerous. But I'm going to tell you something. This guy's pretty damn dangerous. And the reality of the situation is we're not going to find someone that's going to be much worse, you know, than this particular judge. That person doesn't exist. Oh man, what a night! What a night! We just read you a raw story situation there, and I don't want, you know, there's other things that are going on around the world. Okay. But this seems to be the most pressing subject. Now, if you'd like to call us and get in on this program and perhaps share your opinion and your ideas about this whole Alito confirmation process, you can do so by calling us at 1-336-856-2855. That's 1-336-856-2855. Now, I'm not going to filibuster all night, but what I will do is stay on the air until 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that'll be for about another hour and 15 minutes. So if you want to do that, you can do that. You can call us, talk to us on the show, talk to everyone else who's listening, and let them know what your thoughts are. What you can also do is email me at allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org, and you can send your thoughts in that way also. I actually had a couple of emails come in. I read you part of the first email that I got. I'm going to read you another email. This is by Cossack. So Cossack, if you are listening to the show, this is your email. Dear Bruce, first, keep on pitching. The more we keep the heat coming across the plate, the more the sheeple may actually wake up. Right on, Cossack. Second, please let us be correct in our terminology. As Franklin himself said, when describing the type of government founded at the Constitutional Convention, a republic, if we can keep it. Unfortunately, a republic requires work, something that we as a people have been dumbed down to ignore. Merely pulling a lever every 4 years is not sufficient. The Founding Fathers, witness Jefferson's letters to Adams, expected that we, the people, would be getting together, discussing the issues of the day, and daily determining the direction of our republic. Keep up the good work. Someone has to. Regards, Cossack. Thank you for that email, Cossack. I hope you're listening, that you actually got to hear your email on the air. But you're absolutely right. You know, the bottom line with this entire process that we're going through regarding this whole Alito situation, and you know what, and there will be another situation to follow this one, okay? You know, the bottom line with that is that we have the responsibility to get off of our butts and go be a part, you know, to go be a part of the process, okay? It's our job to make sure that the direction of this nation does not get hijacked any further than it already has been hijacked. And we've got a caller on the air. Hey, this is Bruce. You're on the air with Bruce Birch, All Things Reconsidered. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Gonzo, greetings from the city of Easton.
All right, it's my friend Spike from the city of Easton, PA. Spike, how are you doing tonight?
I've had better weeks, but I'm not dead, so I guess it could be worse.
Well, it's a good thing you're not dead, because then I'd be speaking to a ghost, okay?
That'd be good radio, though.
You think? I don't know. I mean, I guess I could ask you what's going on in the afterlife, and is there really a heaven and hell or not? You know, what's going on, man?
Well, between the pains in my back and the pains of democracy in this country these days, how can we not at this point? What's going on? Talk about this whole idea of a filibuster, and thank God some people got a pair in this country finally. I'm so sick of, I'm sure I'm going to offend people more often than not when I talk about the state of politics, and especially the Democratic Party. There's always a few people who get upset with what I say, but let's be real. I mean, Bill P has been whipping Democrats with the, essentially the P whip. I mean, they've kept them just, they got them so submissive to them, and it's such a revolution idea now to some of these people in this country to actually stand up against the Republicans. Yeah, I don't remember Republicans ever having a hard time standing up against any Democratic president ever that they've gone against, probably in the past 100 years.
That's an excellent point, Spike. I remember back, of course, Clinton was probably the best Republican president we've ever had, right?
Oh, God, he was a horrible president. I will give that somewhat to conservatives to a degree. Usually they go after him for the wrong things, though. It's really bad for blue-collar labor in this country, I can tell you that.
He was, absolutely.
And white-collar labor, for that matter. I mean, I have to work blue-collar in college now, because if I can't work a phone center. Unless I move to India, I'm not going to be able to work in a phone center. They're all gone. You know, what he did with him and Al Gore doing the dirty work for H.W. Bush, he sent our jobs away, you know? I mean, and certainly this dimwit Bush didn't help any either. He certainly pushed that ball right down the hill even faster. But, everyone wants to just go after the Republicans and the Bush crime family for what's happened to the sorry state of affairs with outsourcing and stuff. But someone's got to take Al Gore, he gave a great speech this week, but someone's got to take him to the wood chipper and I'm a few on the hiney there for what he did to this country with Bill Clinton. I mean, those guys really messed things up, too. And that's why I do things as crazy as they may sound, like voting and campaigning for Ralph Nader, even though we have no chance in winning. Because I am just so angry that the Democratic Party still isn't really taking responsibility for the things they've done wrong. And certainly it's about time they did something right. And they're doing it now, well, at least their supporters are doing it now. In the form of the Turks and certainly Tom. And let me just say, people say it all the time. I gotta say it. There's nobody, progressive radio, who steps up to the plate and gives us pinch hit doubles and triples and home runs than it seems Tom Hartman. I mean, this guy really, what the Turks wanted to do probably wouldn't even happen if it wasn't for Tom. I mean, and Tom's just, he's the marathon man for progressive talk radio. He'll do a week where he does 12 hours a day, practically, of talk radio.
Yeah, he will. He's, and what he's provided with the chat room, I don't know that he even knew at the time it was going to be as such a rallying place, but it really has turned out to be exactly that, hasn't it?
Yeah, and well, the most amazing part about all that is, I mean, I'll admit, I listen 5 days a week to the Turks, and I go to their chat room during their serious show. You're lucky if you get a crowd bigger than 12 people in there during their show. They normally don't have a huge crowd in the chat rooms, but he came out this weekend and told people hang out in the chat rooms, talk, get energized, get as many people involved as you can. I mean, they crashed their own chat room. I believe at one point the Hartman chat room even crashed because there were just so many people on there.
Wow.
I had trouble with it once it got so crowded at one point. I mean, there was 70 tonight, a Sunday night, 70 people in the Tom Hartman chat room. I mean,
that is truly an amazing thing.
Yeah. I mean, and these are just the people that go in chat rooms. There's plenty of people who listen to radio who have no interest in chat rooms. You know, chat rooms are a turnoff to a lot of people, too. So we're getting 70 people in the chat room because of what's going on. How many people are listening on streams? Opt-Kincaid certainly helped me out with it, doing a stream because I was having trouble with that. You know, putting on satellite radio and they even finally got serious to give it and put them on the air for a little while. And by the way, a lot of people wanted to have the serious for the whole Stern thing. You got to give them credit. They did. It was all repeats and the best of anyways, but they did and then put them on the air. Apparently they couldn't do it yesterday because they had sports obligations with the channel. I understand that, being a sports fan myself in a way. But, you know, today they were like, well, we got nothing going at night. We'll put you on instead of playing a repeat. You know, no problem with that. And, it's great to just see so many people really coming together and getting involved. You know, Sirius is a big corporation. They could have easily backed down to, the Republicans and all these people who sponsor us. And I gotta give them credit. The whole idea of satellite radio is no censorship. And they certainly gave that to us tonight, too. So, you know, people want to bash them all they want, especially with, you know, AAR leaving them and all that. It's a good side to it, too. And it's good to see even people on the corporate level have kind of stepped forward and given us a chance to voice ourselves for the first time. Because we've been just squelched and held down for so long by the corporate media in this country. It's about time some corporate entity actually lightened up and let us have a little bit of a microphone to speak out on the soapbox, so to speak.
Well, you know, that is kind of interesting that they have actually allowed that. But, what kind of other activities have you been seeing surrounding this this whole filibuster situation with the Young Turks this weekend, Spike?
We're going crazy, calling up their representatives, sending faxes. After a while, people really get carried away with, not carried away in a bad way, but carried away with, posting fax numbers up in the chat room here. Fax this one, fax that one. And I'll tell you what, that's a real good way to do it because it's hard for them to... is when they come into the office Monday morning and, you know, the fax machine's out of paper and it's got about 800 more faxes to go when they do fill it up. You know, things like that. And certainly that's good too, is, you know, and all the different hosts, you know, I mean, Collins was involved. A lot of people have really gotten involved. I believe Malloy was on today. And they're all just kind of driving the point to everyone. You know, you get on your representative. You get people you know to get on your representative. Everybody get on the people who are supposed to represent you. I've been doing that myself personally with probably it's a waste of time anyways, but at least there's a chance and, with Arlen Specter, you know.
Sure.
Our Arlen Specter always likes to say he represents the people of Pennsylvania, but now he's going to vote for Karl Rove again. And I'm probably the first person to ever attempt a Arlen Specter imitation in the world.
That was actually pretty good, you know. I was pretty...
I think he's practically been my senator since I was born. I mean, in fifth grade, we wrote him letters from our classroom to support, giving us free books a couple times a year to promote reading. I'm 26, though, so that was a long time ago I wrote my first letter to Senator Arlen Specter. Just like today, I had an uncanny ability of not caring who I offended when I give my blunt opinion on the matter, and I really laid into him then, saying he better do something, you know, if he doesn't support something like that, then he just wants a bunch of idiots, and I kind of lived, for a kid in fifth grade, I was pretty rough on him. I guess it's always been that way with me. I've always been a bit of a pessimist and an angry individual with the politicians, but, you know, that comes with the job. They got to deal with it. You know, it shouldn't be a cakewalk to represent people. I mean, democracy can be a messy business. And if you don't want to deal with opinions not of your own, you're in the wrong business. And certainly no better example of that than the dimwit dipstick himself who sits in the Oval Office. And God knows what he does in the Oval Office alone. Clinton had an intern with him.
Yeah, and this guy, he had, Jeff Gannon had 200 and some visits there in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Bush is the individual who's, without getting too lowbrow, Pee Wee Herman-ish.
Oh, my goodness, Pee Wee Herman-ish.
Pee Wee Herman-ish, that's the best way I can reference it without coming out. I should probably warn you, because of what I'm taking from my back, the switch is a little bit tougher on me this week. Normally, it's real easy to turn that switch in my head, so I'm really fighting blurting out something I should not.
Well, it's okay. Obviously do try, because I think, you know, we are actually on an over-the-air radio station down in Greenville, North Carolina now, so.
Are you really?
Yeah, the last radio station, which is, you can go Google the last radio station. I believe he has a Part 15 transmitter that's transmitting in Greenville, North Carolina, this show. So, you know, yes, it's not like, you know, a large station, but, you know, hey, it's a start. And
so long as Focus on the Family doesn't know you exist, the FCC will never crack down on you for saying anything.
And Keith, gosh, I'm trying to think of his last name now. Anyway, Keith, who runs that, you know, just, I'm just going to throw this in so he hears it. Thank you very much for doing that. We're, you know, trying to get this out there to more listeners.
Especially that you said Greenville as in South Carolina?
Greenville as in North Carolina, which is in the eastern part of the state. It's east of Raleigh. It's down there in the area they call Down East. Very rural. So, but
okay.
It's like,
yeah,
the largest
city. Well, actually, maybe it was Greenville Pickens. There's something Greenville, I think, in South Carolina.
There
also.
Is. The Greenville-Spartanburg area. Right.
Spartanburg, yeah. Because I knew Inman a little bit. Inman, South Carolina. But enough about my years, traveling the eastern coast with Republican Southerners. my amateur sports days, I guess you could say.
Okay, here's the rallying cry. You ready?
Okay.
Defeito Alito! How about that? Okay. Yeah, I just saw that in the chat room, and I just had to try it out for size and see if it worked. And actually, it did kind of work.
It does work pretty good, yeah. I was at a football game today. Something like that would work very well in a large crowd of drunken people. you know, and a large crowd of sober people. It was a sporting event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so I was basically surrounded by intoxicated individuals, with many of whom had face paint.
Right on.
If only people could get that pump sometimes about their government. Alito, I also came up with AAA last night, Americans Against Alito. So I think there's a whole car club that might have an issue with that one. This guy, the biggest thing I've been driving, and, you know, everyone keeps talking about pro-choice and stuff, I just got to say off the bat, I have this radical idea, real simple to deal with abortion in this country. Only female registered voters can vote on it once every 10 years.
That's an excellent idea.
If the majority of women are kind of against it in the country, then they can change the law.
Yeah, because it's their bodies, man. You know, and I, for one, am just, it makes no sense to me that we as men have any say in any possible way over what they, over what women need to do with their bodies. I mean, you know, it's a healthcare situation and it's a privacy situation, and that's the end of that story. That's my belief. But
yeah, I wouldn't want an issue about a certain part of my body being controlled by a majority of women, because whenever you put on C-SPAN, any of it, it's usually creepy guys who are really gung-ho about being against them.
I know.
It's really, it's very heavily driven by men.
Very pasty-faced guys. You know, very, very, very white, pasty-faced guys. You look at them and you're thinking one-handed typist. Spike, man, it's been great talking with you. We're right after the top of the hour. And we're gonna have to go to a break here very quickly, but I appreciate you calling in.
Hey, no problem.
And we'll do this again next week. Now, we're going to be back to our regular hour-long format next week unless I hear a complete public outcry for more. But Peter Werby will be back, and, you know, I restream his show, and
I listen to the Werby stream every week myself.
What, he's a great...
Anyone's listening for the first time here and they don't know who Peter Werby is, if you tune in next week, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Certainly, if you're into someone like Tom Hartman, Peter Werby will be right up there on the list for you also.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Actually, I heard him before I heard Hartman. So, all right, man. Have a great...
Not very well. But, definitely. Hope there's plenty more calls. 336-856-2855. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Spike, man. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. See you later. And that was my friend Spike. Spike is from Easton, Pennsylvania. And Spike is a great friend of all things reconsidered. calls in every time we do a show now. This is great. So thank you, Spike, for calling in and sharing your insight with us regarding the Defeito Alito. So if you'd like to call in, the telephone number is 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. We have been taking phone calls pretty much all evening and talking about a number of different topics, but the first and foremost topic has been the Samuel Alito confirmation. What we're going to go ahead and do here very shortly is, let's see, do I want to take a break real quick? Yeah, why not? I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go ahead and play this song for you, David Rovick's After the Revolution, and we'll be right back on All Things Reconsidered.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles, we're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution, prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees after the Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the tracks, organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the racks. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm. After the revolution, all the political poets couldn't think of what to say, so they all decided to live life for today. I spent a few years catching up with all my friends and lovers, sleeping till 11, home beneath the covers. And I learned how to play the accordion after the revolution.
You're back on All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. That's Steve Earle, The Time Has Come Today. And the song that you heard in the interim there was actually a song by David Rovix. And David is a really fantastic progressive musician who has written just a bunch of songs. And I pushed that before already, earlier once today. So if you're just tuning in to All Things Reconsidered, glad to have you aboard. We're going to be going for about another 45 minutes or so. And on the line, we have a caller, Ben from Illinois. Ben, how you doing, man?
Well, hey there. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. You know, as Tom says, I'm doing great, but I'm going to get better. So.
You know, I always love it when he says that because he's about the most optimistic person that I hear on the radio daily.
He really is, isn't he? Just, yeah, and every day, I mean, without fail.
You know, if I could just, like, you know, if we could, like, turn that into a serum, I think we could revolutionize the treatment of depression, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Here's Essence of Tom Hartman, you know, just, you know.
Essence of Tom.
You know, you take your shot daily and you'd be doing great.
Yeah. So what's on your mind tonight, Ben? How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm busy trying to convince all the folks on DU that it's not hopeless and that we don't need to, like, just, you know, call defeat today and put our tails between our legs on Alito.
I wonder, Ben, you know, I wonder what is it that is driving this defeat. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Thursday, last week, I was right there too. Okay? Now, when I saw what the Young Turks were doing, it really boosted me, like Friday, yesterday, and then even into today, you know, that I'm totally jazzed and I'm pushing hard for, you know, the same thing. But what do you think it is that's driving that negativism?
Several things. Thing number one is there are people among us, okay, who are really deep cover trolls.
Okay.
Okay, I'm absolutely certain of this. There are people who, show up on, DU and on Democrats.com and, you know, and other places who are really there just to provide the negative word at the right time to push us into negativity.
Wow.
I think that's one thing. I think it's a very organized campaign. These people call into talk radio shows. They blog. You know, they blog comments. They post on message boards. And, you know, many of them are literally in the employ of right-wing think tanks. And I think that's one thing. The other thing is, look at our history recently. We won two presidential elections and had them stolen from us.
Right.
You know, that is not a very hopeful thing to anybody who believes in the political process in this country. And that itself fosters a lot of negativity.
Wow. That, you know, that's, I, you know, I knew that there were probably trolls out there who were doing that kind of stuff, but I never really, I mean, I, you know, and as a matter of fact, I remember just recently that there was, one that was uncovered on Democratic Underground that had been there for a long time. Do you remember seeing this?
Oh, yeah, there was, this history goes back quite a ways. We actually had, during the period of time when I was a moderator on DU, we actually had one moderator who was a deep cover troll.
Wow.
And we eventually uncovered him after he was no longer moderator some months later, you know, and kicked him off. But, you know, that is the level to which they have infiltrated our efforts here, is to the point where, you know, we're actually trusting them.
And we're assuming that they're a part of the liberal progressive community.
That's right. That's right. You know, understand that the people we are dealing with are evil.
Okay.
Okay. If evil exists, you know, as a thing and not just as a psychological, illness.
Right. Right.
These people are truly evil, and they, you know, they're doing everything they can to defeat us, and they understand that if the people are allowed to make their own decisions and we are allowed to make up our own minds, that we will never select their way. So they have to be as sure as possible that they can sow seeds of doubt, you know, fear and uncertainty, and that they can create negativity among us by infiltrating us, appearing to be one of us, and then at critical moments, you know, saying, you know, giving us the message that they want us to have. You know, in the last election, I really think the message was that these people promulgated and, you know, literally they won, they forced it on us, was, no, you can't possibly nominate a real progressive like a Dennis Kucinich. He's a nutball. You can't possibly nominate a Howard Dean. He's a nutball. You're going to have to nominate somebody like John Kerry, because he's electable. And that was the message of the far right, that they pushed on us using trolls in our midst.
But it shouldn't be that amazing. I mean, it's not that much of a leap to, because the bottom line is that Kucinich and Dean both really carried ideas that could have turned this country around very quickly. And, you know, while Kerry was, again, more of the same kind of single-party centrism kind of crap that we've been dealing with for the last, how long, Ben? 30 years?
Let me think. When was the last time we had a real, true... I think Hubert Humphrey was the last one.
Okay.
That we had, who was, you know, Jimmy Carter was a little to the left of the center, but really he was mostly centrist. You know, Southern state governor. You know, he had some real progressive ideas, but for the most part, he was just the middle of the roader. You know, I don't think we've had a true liberal actually in office, you know, since Kennedy.
And these folks are, okay. Well, tell me, so what do you think is going to be the outcome of all this tomorrow, Ben? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think we're going to see a lot of procedural maneuvering. And I think ultimately we will get 37 votes against cloture and 4 to 5 extensions, and we'll the filibuster will carry the day.
Well, I think there'll probably be a party in the Tom Hartman chat room if that happens. That's for sure.
yeah, there'll be a lot of parties if that happens. But remember that, you know, this is only, you know, this is like, you know, when the Union had their butts kicked at the first Battle of Bull Run, you know, and you know, we kept losing battles, you know, for quite some time in the Civil War.
Right.
Now this is like our very first, you know, this is like our very first, you know, real win. And to think that the war is over because we've won one battle. Can't do that. We can't celebrate too much. You know, we can all go huzzah and raise a glass, but tomorrow we have to fight again.
Right.
And remember that he is going to nominate somebody else. And at some point in time, we probably have to let somebody fill that slot in the Supreme Court. But I don't think we need to do it until we have an acceptable nominee, until we have somebody who is actually a statesman and a scholar of law that we can all agree would hold our Constitution in the sort of esteem it deserves.
Right.
And that is not Samuel Alito.
No, it's not at all.
And I think we can just, you know, we rejected one of his candidates already. We're going to reject Sam Alito. And then we need to continue to do this, the same drill, continually. If it requires a filibuster each and every time until we get an acceptable candidate, because the Supreme Court is just too important to let a Nazi pick the candidate he really wants.
Well, you know, I am of the opinion that, I mean, you know, I think, again, we absolutely have to fight this, but I think Ben, by the way, everyone, I'm talking with Ben Birch of White Rose Society, who is just the hardest, as Bob Kincaid puts it, the hardest working man in liberal talk radio.
Second hardest. Tom Hartman works harder than I do. He gets up at 3 in the morning and then does 7 hours of talk radio.
And, well, okay.
And then writes books.
And then writes books on top of that. He came into the chat room this afternoon and he says, well, I'm going to be on from one to three and then, but I've got to get this chapter written for this new book. And we asked him what the new book was, but he wouldn't reply. So.
Oh, no. He's got this opinion that you can't talk about a book you are writing or you'll never finish it. And he's right. You'll talk out all your good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben, you know, the other thing too that I wanted to just sort of like discuss with you is, what do you think about the future of liberal talk radio? I mean, you're the guy that archives all this stuff, and so surely you're behind it. But what do you think the future is commercially for liberal talk radio?
Well, I think there is a commercial future. I think there is money to be made in providing what people actually want, which is liberal and progressive talk. But there are two or three things standing in the way.
Okay.
Thing number one is, if you're talking about terrestrial broadcast or even satellite broadcast, understand that every possible frequency that you could broadcast on is already owned by somebody.
Okay.
Okay? Even though the airwaves are supposed to be in service of the people and that it's a commons, you know, that's part of our common heritage, you know, the radio broadcast spectrum, essentially big money has tied down every frequency. So you do have a problem accessing terrestrial broadcast. And in fact, if you look at the kind of problems Air America had starting up, getting on the stations where they were literally buying their way on the stations and then having those stations pulled from them through, you know, like bankruptcy court maneuvers and things.
Really?
Yeah, that's how they lost the Chicago station. It was over a bankruptcy court maneuver that suddenly the bankruptcy's trustees found themselves one morning with completely new legal representation in front of them, and the people who were representing the claimant were from the far right wing, and they did everything they could to shut down Air America in Chicago.
Wow.
That's why they lost their first station, okay? you know, because they had originally rented, you know, or leased the station from, you know, from the owners who were in bankruptcy. Okay, and this was originally okay with the bankruptcy trustees until these lawyers showed up.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what happened there. You know, and you know, and they fought as hard as they could because they needed to keep those voices off the air during the election year. And they knew it. And they knew it.
Sure.
You know, so we do have a problem getting on the stations, but the good news is that that is becoming less and less important. Terrestrial broadcast, although very important, gets less important every day because of the media you and I are using right now.
Right.
We've got the internet. And there are a lot of people starting to you know, to pod blog and broadcast streams on the internet that have liberal and progressive content, and more people are listening to those things. We see the number of hours of cable television watched going down, the number of hours people spend in front of the internet going up, and a large part of the time that people are on the internet, they are both doing, you know, reading a web page and listening to something.
Right, right.
And that is those are the people we have to get. Okay, they are, you know, internet users typically have money to spend and donate to political campaigns, therefore.
Sure.
They have they are literate. They are usually of above average intelligence except for the creepers. And
except for the knuckle dragging freepers, right?
I don't know how some of those guys even managed to apply a Windows patch. You know, they are just that stick stone bone stupid.
Well, that's what that's why Bill Gates made the automatic update thing for. So.
Yeah, as if that actually worked most of the time. I don't know. I've seen automatic updates take a Windows system that worked great and turn it into a piece of useless junk.
Boat anchor, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm a Mac user and a Linux user.
Okay.
All the servers are Debian Linux because, you know, you can't hack that.
Sure. And it's much
and all my recording machines are Macintoshes because you can't hack that. And so, they try. I you should see my firewall logs. I get people hitting me with worms, people probing all the ports on my systems. These guys really just know no boundaries.
What kind of?
They'll do anything to screw us up.
Yeah, they will. Well, you know, that's their job, right? They see it as their. See, that's the funny thing that you know. I was going to mention this earlier, but I didn't. And that is that, you know, Republicans have never taken.
Sorry, that is my doctrine.
That's
okay. I suddenly decided that there is something really urgent happening that I'm talking, and that I must be talking to him. Here, I'll let him out of his little cage.
Okay. What I was gonna say is just that. That's a great dog, by the way. Just
yes,
you know,
his name is Bogey after Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart, right on. And you know what? I completely missed. I lost my point. Anyway, I'm talking with Ben Birch of White Rose Society. Ben and I are not related that we're aware of, right, Ben?
No, we're probably like eighth cousins because there really aren't all that many Birches with a U.
That's right.
You know, I think they say everyone is like, what, 5 degrees separation, 6 degrees separation from everyone else?
Well, I just think it's interesting that we both are into this radio thing. So maybe there is some genealogy thing going on there. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. If I know my family history, it seems like the Birches I'm from, who are all from Missouri, we're a bunch of malcontents, so, you know, that may have something to do with it.
Yes, it may very well have something to do with it. All right, well, listen, I'm getting down to the bottom of the hour here, so I'm probably going to have to go ahead and cut to a break. But, man, thanks for calling on, man. That's it's good to have you on All Things Reconsidered. And thank you so much for everything you're doing for Progressive Talk Radio out there, man. You're right, providing.
And be careful of the trolls. They bite.
I don't feed them, you know.
You take care.
Okay, you too, Ben.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And that was Ben Birch of White Rose Society. Ben, you know, our stream that you're listening to right now is actually on his servers. So thank you, Ben, so much for everything that you do. You really are bringing new voices out there to the masses in such a way that commercialized radio doesn't do. So, that, you know, good on you for that. Good on you for that. We're going to take a quick break. It's about 29 minutes after the hour. We're going to be going for about another 31 minutes, but we're going to take a break first because, you know, because I want to. Don't know why anything. I can't tell you any other reason why, but just that I want to. You are listening to Bruce Birch. This is All Things Reconsidered. If you would like to call in, you can do so by dialing 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. You can also send me an email if you'd like to get in on the show to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And let's see. Let's do this one.
Thurston, where did you suddenly get that walkie-talkie?
I've had it all along, my dove. You see, the statute of limitations on my creative accounting is up. Time to end this tropical charade and return to our billions.
Oh, do we have to go back? It's so cozy here on the island.
My dear, don't you listen to the coconut radio? It's the best time ever to be a billionaire in America. More than half of the last tax cut went to the wealthiest 5%.
But the voters will never allow that kind of thing.
That's what's so marvelous, lovey. The middle class believes they're going to be billionaires someday.
Well, anything's possible in America.
Oh, your naivete is so charming. Charming, my love. The fact is, the gap between them and us is getting wider all the time. W's our boy.
Bush Economics. More than just a three-hour tour. Paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupoje.blogspot.com. That's cupoje.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. On Monday, Bush went to Kansas State to defend his NSA spying program, which he now calls a terrorist surveillance program. But Bush made no mention of the FISA Act or why he chose to go around the FISA court, which had been granting 99.997% of the president's requests for warrants. Instead, Bush spoke just as he acted, as if FISA wasn't even on the books. He said that federal courts have consistently ruled that a president has authority under the Constitution to conduct foreign intelligence surveillance against our enemies. But after Nixon abused this authority, Congress passed the FISA Act to ensure that a future president didn't trample on our rights. Perhaps realizing that he was on shaky ground, Bush said that the Supreme Court had affirmed that the authorization of military force that Congress passed after 9/11 gave him this authority. But that's not what the Supreme Court said. And it's not what Congress authorized. Then, like every bad criminal, Bush said, if I wanted to break the law, why was I doing such and such? In his case, such and such was briefing Congress. But even as Cheney gave the most meager notifications to just a handful of leaders on the Hill, the administration wasn't following the law, according to the Congressional Research Service. This NSA spying scandal is a huge test of our constitutional system. Bush is claiming even the right to spy on us without warrants during peacetime. We can't let this stand. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
Hi.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. Headonradio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday nights, 7 to 10.
Head on.
You're back with Bruce Burtz on All Things Reconsidered, and that's Bob. Bob Marley. Jammin. Glad to be with you tonight. Last week and this week, this show has been 3 hours long, each show. And this is kind of an anomaly. For those of you who are listening to this program and who are new to this program, usually this show only lasts about an hour, so, you know, stretching it out and having the content and the callers that I've had tonight has been fantastic. And for everyone who has called in, thank you so very much for calling in. Spike and Ben and John from Australia and Steady, you know, and Elena from World Can't Wait. Thank you guys so much for calling in and being a part of this program, because it's your participation that makes it a realistic program, rather than me just talking to you. I get to hear from you, and you get to talk to everyone else too. So, if you'd like to be a part of this program, please do so by calling 336-856-2855. That's 336-856-2855. Wanted to, cut over to, a different story tonight. Getting away from the Alito situation just a bit for a couple minutes. And I wanted to talk about the State of the Union address, because to me, that is the immediate, clear and present danger beyond what's happening tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 with the cloture vote, is the kind of bull that the president is going to try to shove into our faces Tuesday night. And this is out of the Financial Times of Washington. This is the most detailed story that I have found about the State of the Union address that will be delivered on Tuesday. So you can go to FT.com or news.ft.com, and that'll put you right into that website where you can find this story, which is published today. This was written by Andrew Balls, B-A-L-L-S, Andrew Balls. President George W. Bush is expected on Tuesday to try and retake the initiative in the Washington political debate in a speech that is expected to be long on optimism and short on detailed policy proposals. Mr. Bush is expected to deliver an upbeat message on the war in Iraq in his annual State of the Union address, pointing to progress being made in the country, a subject he has addressed in a number of recent speeches. White House aides have characterized the speech as one that will lay out his approach and views on the importance of U.S. world leadership and be visionary and thematic rather than deal with policy specifics. In an interview with CBS Television on Sunday, Mr. Bush said the low level of public support for his policies in Iraq showed that the public had been distracted from achievements made in the country by images of violence on the news. He said he intended to play the role of educator-in-chief as well as commander-in-chief. Oh, my God. Is he for real? I mean, oh, man. I mean, you know, okay, look. I'm laughing because it's hard for me to believe that he's that stupid that he would think that we have been distracted by violence. Because there's this whole undiscovered world in Iraq of fantastic achievements that is hiding behind this veil of violence. Oh my God. Come on, man. Yeah, educator in chief, huh? Yeah. Okay. How about this one, educator in chief? Is our children learning? Okay, I'm just having too much fun at this point. Having too much fun. You know, maybe I could find some of those fantastic Bushisms. Let's see. Let's see. Here's one. Let's see.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
There's one. Here's another one. Here's another one.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
Okay. All right. That was a comedy. That was a comedy. Okay. All right. Mr. Educator in Chief is going to give us a speech. Let's hope that he might actually say this. Okay.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, that was, I never quite understood why there was such enthusiastic applause. Maybe he was, at a CIA convention, you know, propaganda convention. Maybe it was the Voice of America convention. But the president, again, is going to be speaking to us Tuesday night, and, you know, what he's going to be doing is he's going to be feeding us a lot, you know, okay, look, instead of specifics, of course, he's going to be, the specifics of a mushroom cloud. He's going to be trying to feed us how wonderful everything is going. And, you know, I know he's not listening to this program, but I got to tell you, anyone else who's listening who might be a Republican, your man is living in a freaking dream world. I mean, it's opposite, as my friend John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio likes to say. He's living an opposite world. It's like everything that he says, it's just completely the opposite to reality. Okay, he says that the low level of public support for his policies in Iraq showed that the public had been distracted from achievements made in that country by images of violence on the news. So he's blaming the news. He's blaming the news for reporting the freaking truth rather than his propaganda, which he likes to catapult. All right. Well, I just wanted to deviate from the Alito stuff because I think it's pretty important to remember how stupid the president is. Because we need to know how stupid he is, right?
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation.
I asked Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, the rest of your life of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
Okay, well, that's, you know, we've had enough fun for the night at George's expense. All right, let's get back to the entire situation with Alito. Because I just think it's important that we finish out the show. We're about got about 15 minutes left. If you want to get on the program, you're going to have to make it quick. 336-856-2855. 336-856-2855 is the telephone number. The email address is allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And, you know, you can always send me an email anytime all week long. You know, and I'd love to talk with you, converse back and forth with folks who listen to this program, because to me, this is about an ongoing conversation. The only way that we're going to be able to change the tide of negativity in the country, the conservative thought in the country, is if we create a new conversation. And the only way you can do that is if we're talking. So send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. All right, let's see here. There's a number of, there's just so many, I had like 15 other stories lined up. But I want to cover this one real quick, too, because I think this is kind of important. You know, in the light of all the Alito stuff, what has the U.S. Army decided it needs to do? Now, we've seen over the last, actually last week I reported on a story about the U.S. Naval Academy, in which they were, the Marines that were the sentries there were now being called into active duty, breaking 144-year-old tradition, and the sentries' posts were going to be taken up by naval enlisted personnel. Well, that was one little sort of piece of the pie when, with regard to the fact that we've got all of these, you know, the armed forces are scrambling for people, you know, to fill their spots. Now, here's another story that falls right in line with that. This is out of Reuters and written by, Will Dunham. And the U.S. Army has forced 50,000 soldiers to continue serving after their voluntary stints ended under a policy called stop loss. But while some dispute its fairness, court challenges have fallen flat. Defense analyst Lauren Thompson of the Lexington Institute think tank says, as the war in Iraq drags on, the Army is accumulating a collection of problems that cumulatively could call into question the viability of an all-volunteer force. In other words, it looks like it's getting drafty in here. Now, I don't want to, like, give a prediction, but I guarantee you that should the Bush administration go the way that it seems to want to be going with regards to the situation in Iran, with the, you know, the whole claim of nuclear bombs and all that crap over there, I guarantee you, you will see a draft in this country. And if there were anything that would cause the country to turn against any kind of military action, it would be that, being forced to go fight a war. I mean, you know. But this particular article, there's apparently a case, let me just read this to you. A few soldiers have gone to court to challenge the stop-loss program. One such case fizzled last week when U.S. District Court Court Judge Royce Lamberth in Washington dismissed a suit filed in 2004 by two Army National Guard soldiers. The suit claimed that the Army fraudulently induced the soldiers to enlist without specifying that their service might be involuntarily extended. Courts have also backed the policy's legality in Oregon and California cases. Jules Lobel, a University of Pittsburgh law professor who represented the National Guard soldiers, said a successful challenge to stop loss was still possible. He says, I think the whole stop loss program is a misrepresentation to people of how long they're going to actually serve. I think it's caused tremendous morale problems, tremendous psychological damage to people. Well, duh. when you sign up for the military, you're saying, I'll give you, say, 6 years, and then after 6 years, I get my life back. And they're saying, no, really, we can extend you indefinitely. Congressional critics have assailed stop loss, and 2004 Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry called it a backdoor draft. The United States abolished the draft in 1973, but the all-volunteer military never before has been tested by a protracted war. I can't help but think, and this is me talking now, I can't help but think that this situation is part of why the Pentagon trotted John Murtha out and said, we can't win the war in Iraq, that it's time to go. Why? Because they knew that these soldiers' times were coming up and that they're going to have to get out of the army and there wasn't going to be fresh blood, fresh meat to replace them. So following that line of reasoning, something's got to happen. And I think that's why John Murtha was given the marching orders by the Pentagon generals, to trot out and go, hey, okay, you know, we can't logically sustain this effort. So go make them stop. fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, we're about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. My name is Bruce Burch. You're listening to All Things Reconsidered. Thank you so much for your participation in the program. I'm going to take a very, very quick break, and I will be right back here in just a moment with final thoughts of All Things Reconsidered. We had a president, okay? We had a president who led this country out of the Great Depression and through a world war. And that president said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. That is a very diametrically opposed concept to what we have in place today, which is different levels of fear. We have the yellow fear, the orange fear, and then the red fear. The red fear. I guess the red fear is like when all hell is breaking, it's like bend over and kiss your ass goodbye kind of fear, right? Join me, Bruce Burch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday night at 10 p.m. at allthingsreconsidered.org.
This is Mark Crispin Miller. The world can't wait to drive out the Bush regime. On January 31st, Bush gives his State of the Union address. But we can say right now that this union is in a state of emergency. The Bush regime is not conservative. The Bush regime is not American. The Bush regime is radically opposed to the ideals on which America was founded. Reason, free speech, democracy, and the pursuit of happiness. The Bush regime wants to replace all that with corporate domination and religious tyranny. They want a vast police state where there is no argument, no private pleasure, no free thought, and not a single tree left standing. This regime is immoral, unjust, unelected, and indictably criminal, and we must stop it. Tuesday, January 31st, during Bush's State of the Union address, we will protest all across the country and demand that Bush step down. The next Saturday, February 4th, join us in Washington, D.C., where we'll bring our demands right to the White House. Bush lied. Bush spied. Bush stepped down. Find us today. WorldCan'tWait.org, 866-973-4466.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
It
was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway...
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Burt. You're back with me on All Things Reconsidered, and that was the Doobie Brothers with Taking It to the Streets. And you know what? I certainly hope that you, dear listener, go out Tuesday night and take your stuff to the street and protest this president and the lies that he's going to be bringing forth in the State of the Union address. Now, you know what? We've seen, four of these so far, right? We've seen four of these State of the Union addresses. And maybe five. I could be wrong. Four or five. Too many. Too damn many. Okay. And each time we've seen the lies, you know, so I'm just speaking from experience that I'm sure that this next one is not going to be any different than the last four or three or five. I don't know. So when I say Bush's lies, I just, we know what he's going to do. I mean, come on. We know what he's going to do. All right. We're about four minutes before the top of the hour. My name is Bruce Burch. This is All Things Reconsidered. Before we close out the show this evening, I just want to tell everyone who participated in the show tonight, thank you very, very much. I was sort of, in a way tonight, sort of, I don't want to say competing, but, you know, it really was a little bit of a competition, the people who participated in the show tonight also had divided attention with what's going on with the Young Turks and their filibuster. I do encourage you strongly in about 3 minutes after we're done with this program to go ahead straight over to that program, and you can get there by going to allthingsreconsidered.org. There are links there to the streaming details of video and audio to check that out. Now, before I close out, the last thing I really wanted to say is that, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line with this is that we are living right now in the crux of a time when history will either judge us to have done the right thing or history will find us faulty, slothful, lazy, and stupid for not doing what we needed to do to protect the Republic of the United States of America. Now, when I say that, what I mean is that Samuel Alito and his cohorts on the Supreme Court, John Roberts and Clarence Thomas and that other right-wing guy that I really dislike him, so I always forget his name, you know. But it's up to you now to take your message to the streets. It's up to you to take your message to those people who are supposed to represent you. They're not supposed to represent the government. They're not supposed to represent, you know, the corporate interests. They're supposed to represent you. And if they're not representing you, then dear listener, it is your job to ensure that they are ousted from their positions, either through election or peaceful and legal means, whichever comes first. We are faced with a situation in this country where we have to do something now, or we will not see the America that you and I grew up with for much longer. So, you know, go do something. Please, for the love of God, go do something. Find your message, find your peace, find your place out there in helping to create the kind of society that we want to have. Okay? Because if you don't do that, and we do, you know, fall to fascism or corporatism or whatever it is that these people have planned for us, you know, then, you know, we will have nobody to blame but ourselves. We're about 10 seconds from 1 o'clock a.m. on the Eastern Coast, and ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for listening to All Things Reconsidered. I'm going to run over just for a minute or two, and I can do that because I can. But I just want to say thank you for listening to our program, and as I pull up the closing music, where is it? You've been listening to All Things Reconsidered. All Things Reconsidered is broadcast every Sunday evening from 10 until 11 p.m. and every now and then from 10 until 1, depending on what's going on in the world. You can reach us online at allthingsreconsidered.org. You can send us an email, allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. Our streaming services are managed by Ben Birch, White Rose Society. Thank you very much, Ben. And also, archives of the show are on whiterosesociety.org. So do check Ben out. It's been a pleasure to be with you again for this week. We will be back next week. Same time, same bat channel. Hopefully without Sammy Alito. Good night.